Tickets are available at cap.ucla.edu and kpfk.org.
This is Quetzal Flores from the band Quetzal, and you're listening to KPFK 90.7 Los Angeles.
From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest to the sunny shores of PCH, this is The Car Show, broadcasting every Saturday here on KPFK 90.7 FM for over 50 years. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn of AutoWeek.com. Please go to AutoWeek.com, click on my stories 15 times each. That's all I ask. I am joined by our Orange County Bureau Chief, a member of the Motor Press Guild, a practicing attorney, and the owner of not one, but two Mazdas, a Miata, and an RX-8, Michelle Spencer. Welcome, Michelle.
Hi, Mark, and welcome everybody to KPFK and The Car Show.
Our friend and regular co-host, Ricardo, has left the show to pursue other interests. I can't imagine what would be more interesting than KPFK and The Car Show, which, as we know, has been on the air for over 50 years. He has a lot of big races coming up, a lot of rallies, and he's, you know, president of the Hispanic Motor Press Association, and I think he has a full-time job on top of that, so he was doing a lot of traveling. It was just tough for him to stay on. We wish him well. Ricardo, if you're listening, come back anytime. All is forgiven. Maybe it was the fact that we're not getting paid for this. Do you think that had anything to do with it? I don't know. What do you think? No?
Well, radio is hard to monetize, as they say.
It's hard to monetize, yes. So, and we missed the fact that last month was the pledge drive. Somehow,
speaking of monetizing.
Yeah, we didn't get that memo. And KPFK still needs your money now. In the past, and especially in the recent past, our listeners have been very generous, and we have to thank them for their donations. And if you want to continue to donate, because you're sitting on a big pile of money anyway, they're in several accounts, offshore accounts in the Cayman Islands and elsewhere. Just go to your computer, type in kpfk.org, and hit donate. And they will gladly take a nice donation from you. And when you donate, say it's for The Car Show, your favorite show about cars on the radio. In fact, I don't know, is it the only show about cars on the radio? It's not a podcast. It's a broadcast. So
I think it's the only one out of L.A., anymore.
Yeah, let's just say it's the only one. Nobody's fact checking us. We can say anything we want.
Alternative facts? Okay, good. if you want to call KPFK and tell them how great our show is and make a pledge, here's the number, 818-985-5735.
So that's not, that number is still a functional number for calling in and making donations?
Correct.
Okay, it is. Great. Great. So please do that. We're sorry we missed the pledge drive, you know, but that life goes on, and there'll be another pledge drive, and you can always donate. It's not like you can only donate during the pledge drive. So anyway.
Right. And they'll take your old car off your hands too.
That's right. Donate your car. Donate that wheezing Lancia that you have out in the garage.
You're right. What's that again? An Appia?
Appia.
What year?
The 61. All the Lancias were named after roads to Rome. And, you know, the Appian Way, or as we say,
the Appian Way.
Yeah, so that's one of them. So that car, if anybody wants to buy it and donate it to something, donate it to KPFK. That's what I say. That's all
well,
I say.
Well, if you don't sell it, you're going to have to take it to the Best of France in Italy on November 3rd, tomorrow.
That's right. That is our next, the first and next section of our show, the calendar section. Remember, we try and make these things as accurate as possible, but please do check on the websites before you go and call the numbers before you go and make sure that stuff is happening. And if you want something else, and that's not on our show, call or dial up SoCalCarCulture.com. That thing has a million things. So there's got to be something in your backyard. And as Michelle said, my favorite show is happening tomorrow. The Best of France and Italy, Sunday, November 3rd, Woodley Park in Van Nuys. I've been to every car show in the world, I think. Almost every car, you know, significant, okay. Pebble Beach, Villa d'Est, Chantilly, what else? Amelia Island.
Radwood.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. Radwood. And I have the most fun at the Best of France and Italy car show. As it sounds, it's all French and Italian cars, and it's just, it is a miracle. It is a biblical miracle that those cars all start and get all the way down there. There are very few of them that are trailered. It's quite rare that you'll see one trailer, just because those guys can't afford a trailer probably.
Yeah.
But most of them are driven there, and it's a lovely collection. I think the largest number of cars come from Alfa Romeo. Fiat is also well represented there. There are more Italian cars than there are French cars, but there are a lot of French cars. There have, in recent years, there have been a couple of Bugatti Type 57s, I think.
Cool.
Bruce Meyer brought his Bugatti Type 57 one year. There's a local family that has one, and they wheeled it out. Maybe they'll be there this year. Jay Leno shows up most of the time in some amazing car with a huge engine, and he's always a big draw there. And I will be there. That's right. I, your humble host, Mark Vaughn from AutoWeek.com. I will bring, assuming it started. I went out and started it the other day. So if it can make it all the way from my house to Woodley Park in Van Nuys, it'll be there. And you can say hello, and we can talk about cars. You can tell me your stories about your beaters and how they made it down the freeway or didn't make it. It's a non-judged show, from the Rough Restoration Project to the Serious Concours offering. All are welcome at the Best of France and Italy. There, it's only like, I think if you go online and sign up, I think it's $30. If you pay at the door or at the gate or driving across the dirt is what you do there, it's $35. They accept only cash. Can't bring a credit card and expect to get in. They say here, the intent of this gathering is to provide a meeting place for all French and Italian marks, especially those that get little attention at traditional concours. That would be my car, but it's just a fascinating array of really cool cars that you never see on the street. You know, a Renault Dauphine, an R5 turbo. Last year, I think there were three R5 turbos.
How about a Citroën?
Citroën. Il y a beaucoup de Citroën, voitures de Citroën. Très bien. And it's really nice. And I guess I'm just rambling on because I like it. Have you ever been, Michelle?
I haven't. Sounds fantastic. Do they serve croissants? And,
no, they don't. You would think it would be
Italian espresso.
It would be a great opportunity. I think they do have Italian espresso. It's not free. And then they have a couple of food trucks. And in past years, I don't think the food trucks have been coordinated with the French and Italian themes of the cars.
Oh, so that's a bummer, because they could pull in some really cool stuff.
I think they could. You can contact them at info@franceanditaly.com. If spectators are free, just walk in. Now, the hot tip is do not park across the street, because you will be killed by a car in those five lanes of whatever street that is. Get into Woodley Park. Park on the same side. It's the east side of that street. Just a little bit to the south, there's a whole big parking lot that nobody ever goes to. And it's just as easy to walk from that, and you don't have to cross the street. So next, moving down to Michelle's neck of the woods. Our Orange County Bureau Chief, Michelle, tell us what we have down there.
If you don't want to be in Van Nuys, you can go to Irvine tomorrow morning, Sunday, November 3rd. It's starting at 7:30 for Cars and Coffee at Segerstrom. And that's the Segerstrom Shelby Event Center that's about 2 or 3 years old now.
Yeah.
And that's a place where I always have enjoyed going for their Cars and Coffees. And you can also go right up the street to the Hillbank Motors while you're there. This is open to all makes and models, not just Mustangs, not just Shelbys, not just Fords. It's everything. And I've taken the Miata there a couple times. Might take the RX-8. But anyway, you can get free coffee. The Segerstroms go to Duck Donuts and bring over Duck Donuts for free. And they always have coffee.
Now, complimentary. You're a local down there. Are Duck Donuts good?
Yes. Newport Beach.
Ah.
They're very good.
Do you have to get there early to get a donut?
No.
They have so many?
Yes. They'll have they have boxes stacked up.
Can you do the thing like, remember when Homer Simpson went to hell and they were going to torture him by feeding him donuts and they made a donut machine and he ate all the donuts in hell and still wanted more and the devils were frustrated. They didn't know.
Well, it sounds like he ended up in the right place because that would not be cool to eat all the donuts. Okay, so do we have to go over proper etiquette at Cars and Coffee? So don't go crazy. Okay, you can bring your own mug. You can as much as you like, but please don't be a hog. Gosh, go
Isn't
and take
that what
photos
they said
of the cars.
City of Bell, didn't the City of Bell manager tell some secretary something like that? Don't be a hog.
Don't be a hog.
You can be a pig, but don't be a hog or something like that.
Jeez. And also, no donuts in Irvine. Don't do donuts in Irvine when you're leaving.
Yeah, you can eat the donuts, but don't do donuts in the street. That's what kills these events more than anything else is
yes.
knuckleheads doing wheelies on the way out.
Mercifully, yes, it is. Well, yeah, of course. It is very tempting, especially because this is a commercial zone, so there's no one around who's going to care on a Sunday morning that you're doing
That's
donuts.
Right.
But we've had a cool crowd, and nobody
Good.
Has done any stupid burnouts or, you know, showing off how many pistons they have that are still working, things like that.
That's good. Sunday, November 3rd, 7:30 to 9:30 a.m. at numbers 1 and 5 Watney Drive in Irvine. That's the Cars and Coffee at Segerstrom Event Center and Hillbank Motors. We'll move on down now. We'll go east to Paris, and we're not talking all the way east to P-A-R-I-S, but P-E-R-R-I-S, Skydive Paris. That's I don't know if that's a dirt run. No, that's paved. It's paved. Skydive Paris Airport Cruise-In tomorrow, November 3rd, 2091 Getz Road. That's just like Bernard Getz, G-O-E-T-Z. Getz Road in the city of Paris. That's right by Lake Elsinore, if I'm not mistaken. From 1 to 4 p.m., there will be food, a 50-50 prize drawing, and skydiving. And I'm always kind of a fan of car shows that take place at airports because there are airplanes there. So you can look at the airplanes, too. You know, that sounds fun.
Very cool. Doesn't it? Yeah. So you could do one of these car shows in the morning and then go out on the 215 east or south and east
it's
to
the
Paris.
15. I think it's right off of the 15, if I'm not mistaken. Or maybe they're both one
and
the same at that
point. I don't know, because when I go to the dirt track, it's off the 215 at Cahalco Road.
Also in Paris.
Correct.
Yeah. We'll always have Paris. All right. a little bit in between all that is the Twilight Cruise Night at the NHRA Motorsports Museum, which is, where is that? 1101 West McKinley Avenue in Pomona, California. It's the same grounds as the Fairplex in Pomona. Mm-hmm. Twilight Cruise Night. Now, that's a Wednesday night, November 6th, coming up. That's a lot of fun. You never know what's going to show up there. A lot of traditional hot rods, and it's right there at the grounds of the Wally Parks Motorsport Museum.
Yes.
Which is a fine facility there, too.
It
so that's
sure is. I love that place. Really, it's a wonderful place.
Yeah. You'd think it was just drag racing because of the Wally Parks name, but it's
no.
The Motorsports Museum, so it has all kinds of different motorsports.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the progression of, for instance, safety and internal combustion and, you know, how they laid things out. Oh, at one point they figured, oh, put the engine behind the driver so that when it blows up, it happens behind the guy instead of in front of him, so.
Genius.
Yeah, you can see all that there at that museum. Twilight Cruise Night, NHRA Motorsport Museum, 4 to 7 p.m. on Wednesday, November 6th. I think there's one more after this one, and then they take a couple months off. So that's fun. And if you can't get enough Nitro at that event, Nitro Revival is November 8th to 9th at Irwindale Speedway. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about Irwindale Speedway later in the broadcast, but November 8th to 9th, Nitro Revival returns to Irwindale Drag Strip for the feel-good event of the year, they say. It's a museum in motion. Nitro Revival honors the glory days of drag racing. Brace yourself for the largest gathering of cackle cars you'll see anywhere. Cackle, of course, they have a cackle fest where they put them all in a circle and they start them all up and you can, it's just
that's
a
awesome.
Lot. It's quite a lot of internal combustion. It shakes all your internal organs, rearranges them in places you never knew that they could go because
great.
That's a lot of nitro burning. So, and then
you
they
won't
race.
Have any, yeah, no eyebrows afterwards.
You don't need them. They're superfluous. They're going to race on the 8th mile drag strip there at Irwindale Speedway. There will be nitro in the air, legends everywhere. So
right.
You don't want to miss it. Bring the entire family. Kids under 12 are free. Go to nitrorevival.com for full details. Again, that's November 8th and 9th. At Irwindale Speedway. Check that out.
And did you know that on November 16th at the same place is Seven Stock?
Tell us about that.
Yes, this is our annual gathering for the Rotary at Heart. If you have a Rotary-powered vehicle, this is the time, this is the place to show up. November 16th, Saturday. It'll be all day long. I just signed up the Ocho to be on display, which is my RX-8, my 2005. And thing is fantastic shape. I love to see all the other Rotary cars out there because they go old school all the way back to RX2s, RX3s from the 70s, plus the Rotary engine pickup trucks, which we call Repus. They're out there too. And those are awesome cars or trucks. Then, of course, I was going to be on the hunt for a Suzuki. They were built in the 70s with Rotary engines.
I knew the motorcycle. Yeah.
And I have seen them there before, but they're hit and miss. Some years they bring them, some years they don't.
Okay.
So you have to register. Now, if you want to exhibit like I did, you have to submit and be approved. And then when you get your approval, you pay your $40 to register. If you only want to spectate, you just pay $25. And if you want to drag race, you can do that too. They will allow us to put our cars on that drag strip, same drag strip, for $60. What a deal. It was really fun. They did this last year, and this is the second year they're going to let us go on the track. So
that's pretty cool. I mean, you know, being able to go on a racetrack for $60 is a great bargain.
Yes, you do have to look. They do a tech inspection. Yes, they do that.
What does that consist of, though?
You know? Making sure your car is safe enough to make it down the 8th mile.
Maybe they like wiggle all those wings, the add-on wings, and see if they're going to fall off or something. I don't know.
Anyway, that's November 16th, and you can go to tickets.thefoat, which is TheFoat.com. All right.
Good. What else do we want to cover here?
We got to talk about the In-N-Out Burger NHRA finals at the Fairplex in Pomona.
Tell us.
That's November 14th and 17th. And this is where the championship will be decided.
Who's so going to win?
Well, who knows? You know what would be really cool is if the driver that took over for John Forrest would win. That would be cool.
Right.
Or maybe his daughter, Brittany.
Yeah.
But we also have Steve Torrance is doing really well. And there's a couple other drivers to watch. And so Top Fuel... you got even those motorcycles are pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, those are crazy.
Yeah, those are so insane.
I don't know, man. There's not enough padding in the world to.
You're not up for that? Okay. Well, you can go watch if you log on to NHRA.com. You can buy your tickets, and you know what the cool thing I always love about NHRA is every ticket includes a pit pass. You get to walk around in the pits before and after. And every time I go, I've run into John Forrest and, hey, John, how you doing? You know, he doesn't know who the heck I am, but he says hi anyway because he's so sweet. He's a great guy. He'll take pictures with every kid that comes up to him.
He is a cool dude. He really is responsible for keeping interest in drag racing as long as it has. So good for him. Yeah. Let's hope that his guy wins.
Yeah.
We'll see.
All right. Well, that's all we can cover, Mark. I think we better move on.
Let's move on. We're going to move on to the news section. Shouldn't we have like some kind of intro to news, like No, that's that other station.
Oh, I was trying to do like the ABC or the NBC little blurb that they, the musical blurb they have.
Yeah, dong, dong, dong.
There
well,
you go.
Anyway, where do we, okay. Should we start off in the junkyard?
Yeah, we need to talk about what happened with Rudy Klein, who was the junkyard collector with great taste.
He was just
buying everything and parting it out. And then these poor corpses were just sitting in his warehouse in LA for years. And we're talking decades.
Yeah, it was a mysterious place that people talked about, but I had never met anybody who had been there until my story at autoweek.com came out. And then people would call me and say, oh, yeah, I remember him. I went there and you know, one minute he would welcome you with open arms and the next minute he'd be kicking you out. He was a mercurial fellow, I guess. He came in to the United States, immigrated from Germany, and started his career as a butcher.
This actually makes sense.
And then he started, he liked cars so much. He started this wrecking yard that he would get. Now, I went to this auction, so I saw all these cars. It is all dirt. The ground is dirt there. There is one building that had cement inside it. Every other building had a dirt floor, and he had racks and racks of Porsche 356s, great 911s. He had stacks of Mercedes, Maseratis, Bentleys. He had a couple of Horsch cars. The lead car in the whole thing was a 300 SL Gullwing alloy bodied car that, we'll get to that in a second, but it was just this crazy amalgamation. You can see all the photos. Go to autoweek.com and scroll down to, as you must, to my article. And you can see the photos of these things. I just walked around and I was amazed by it. My favorite is there's a 1969 Volkswagen Type 2 single cab pickup with the sidewalls of the pickup bed down, and placed on top of that is the front half of a smashed Lamborghini Miura. That was one lot. You could bid on that. And that went for $50,000. Rudy Klein himself passed away several years ago, I guess. And R.M. Sotheby's did the auction for this. It was an amazing thing. A lot of the auction was engines. He had just tons of engines from Porsches, engines from Mercedes. He had transaxles, transmissions, all kinds of stuff. So R.M. Sotheby's handled the auction. You couldn't get in unless you had registered. So it was not a really public thing. You saw guys there who were major players, you know. You can always tell the real rich guys because for some reason they're wearing dark blue quilted vests. I don't know what that means. It's like some inside thing where the rich guys can tell each other. So, yeah, if you want to be really cool, get a dark blue quilted vest and wear that. But anyway, they had this auction. The main auction took place on a week ago Saturday? And they moved almost $30 million worth of stuff. It was a 100% sell-through. That doesn't usually happen because individuals who are putting stuff in auctions, they often have a reserve and they're not happy with if it doesn't make reserve. So in this case, everything sold. The lead car, almost $10 million, was that alloy 300 SL Gullwing, which was originally owned by Luigi Canetti, I believe. And that went for a 9.355, I think. So we'll round it up to 9.4 million. But there were other amazing sales in this. There was a 1964 Iso Grifo Spider prototype, the only one ever made, sold for $1.7 million. Now, remember, these cars are filthy. Some of them are just wadded up balls of metal. The Grifo wasn't, the Gullwing wasn't. There were a lot of cars that were, they looked like you could maybe even drive them. But the majority of them had been in accidents. Every starlet and star who ever crashed a Ferrari in Los Angeles, I think their car wound up in this collection. There was another Mercedes SL Roadster, not a Gullwing, went for just over $1 million. A Lamborghini Miura P400 sold for $1.3 million. Remember Rudolf Caracciola, the Mercedes Grand Prix driver. His 1935 500K sold for $3.75 million. And that was announced as the crowning jewel of the junkyard. So even R.M. Sotheby's was kind of taking a little bit of a laugh about that. And a 1962 Porsche 356B 1600 twin grille cabriolet, say that five times, that sold for just over $1 million. That might have been overpriced because those usually go for like 300 grand to 400 grand, but it only had 500 miles on it. So people were paying a lot of crazy money for things like a set of Gullwing doors, just the doors from a Mercedes Gullwing, sold for $8,000. That might have been good to, you know, hang on your wall or make into an artwork or something. Mm-hmm. A box of Mercedes clocks sold for $1,250. Ferrari Type 571 transmission for $2,500. It was an amazing, amazing scene. You got to click on the photo gallery at autoweek.com and just go through those, because I listed all the prices that what these things went for, and they were in accidents. Most of them were in accidents. Some had been chopped up. They were all rusty, all covered with dirt. It was an amazing, amazing thing. One doesn't often get to see something like that.
No, you don't. And I think we're seeing this. This is part of the trend of the patina parade. Of
that's right,
high prices being paid for things that are not in primo shape.
Well, look at Pebble Beach and Chantilly this year. They were unrestored Bugattis took a best in show at both of those. So maybe you're right, Michelle. The day of the beater has arrived. So there's hope for my Lancia.
There is. And it'll be interesting to track and see if, say, like that Gullwing that actually was one of only 26 built, and I think it was the only one that was in black, but the guy painted it over in silver, whoever owned it before. Anywho, it'll be interesting to see if that ends up in any concours in the next few years or so.
I wonder if the trend is to just not show these, not drive them, but just put them in a hermetically sealed bag and wait for them to appreciate. Maybe they are just now becoming investments. What do you think? Possible?
It is possible. Is it sad? Yes.
Yeah. So
these are pieces of history. So it's sad to me.
Yeah, they should be driven. That's what you're saying?
And shown. Even if not drivable, shown.
Okay. All right. I'm with you because, you know, we like to see them. We're never going to own them. So,
yeah, big time. We're never going to own them, Mark.
So another interesting thing, I went down to last weekend to the 20th anniversary of the Dionysi store in Orange County. Not quite as big a deal as the Rudy Klein auction, but it was quite interesting. And they were showing off a new smart airbag. And I always want to reiterate this. If you're riding a motorcycle, for about $700, you can get one of these airbag vests that you put on, and it has a bunch of, it has a little computer in it and several sensors. It has accelerometers and various other sensors that can tell when you are suddenly, when your body position suddenly changes, it knows that you're in an accident. The airbag, there's a charge of a canister of argon and helium that immediately fills up this airbag component of the jacket and protects your ribs, your collarbones, and parts of your shoulder, depending on which airbag system you get. And I can tell you, I can't say enough for these things. I have had one deployed on me just as a demo. This was actually, that deployment took place for me down at Alpine Stars, because they also offer these airbag systems. And they showed an airbag deployment at this Dionysi store. And it was on one of their employees, a female employee, and it went off. And she said, knock on this thing, you know, you could tap on it. And it was just like a solid piece of, I don't know what, protecting you. So it's like instant armor. So that's my plug for airbags. If you're riding motorcycles, for goodness sake, get the gear and invest in this. Spend $700 for this airbag, you know, whether it's from Dionysi. I'm not getting paid by anybody, so I, you know, I'm not endorsing one or the other, but this technology exists, and why not protect your ribs and your collarbones? It used to be, if you had a crash on a motorcycle, it was just a given that, oh yeah, well, your collarbones are going to break. Well, they don't have to break. So anyway, enough about that. Let's move on. I'm off my soapbox now.
I was going to say, this is a good time to reiterate that we are not sponsored by anyone, and all of our opinions are our opinions.
That's our legal expert throwing that out there. So yeah, we don't get any money for saying yes or no about anything or covering anything.
If we like it, we want you to know about it. That's the bottom line. If we like it,
right, we figure you'll like it too. So what should we do next, Michelle? We have a whole list of stuff here. Do you want to use your expertise on your Radford story?
All right. So there was news this week that Radford Motors, which is a custom build house that's been around for
3 years.
3 years. Didn't last long. Has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Just so people know, Chapter 11 is not going belly up. Chapter 11 is a reorganization of the business where you can continue working. You can continue producing your product. You keep your people employed. What you do is you don't have to pay your debts.
So you get out of paying your debts. Let's remind people that Radford Motors was started by Formula One champion Jenson Button, TV personality Ant Anstead, and a couple of other guys. And their stated goal, they licensed the name Radford to the former Bondurant School of High Performance Driving. That is called now the Radford Racing School, if I'm not mistaken. And then they also, this same entity, Radford Motors, was going to produce a sports car based on the Lotus Evora. They made two sports cars and then declared a bankruptcy. But Michelle has more about this.
Mm-hmm. So Radford Motors, turns out, is a DBA. In other words, a business name that's being used by a corporate entity called Finest Coach Building Group. And so Ant Anstead is the CEO. So basically, he's running both the corporate entity and then the DBA, which is actually producing these Lotus Evora. Is it Evora or Evora?
I say Evora, but
Evora. Okay,
I'm not from England.
Evora vehicles for the custom market. So why? How did we find out about this? Well, because they filed a notice of bankruptcy in connection with a lawsuit that was filed against them. One of the effects of filing for a Chapter 11 is you stop all litigation against you. It's frozen. They can't continue with the case. They can't do discovery. They can't take depositions. They can't make them like cough up documents and things like that. So what you do is when you have a client that goes Chapter 11 or Chapter 7 or whatever, you file your notice instantly with your civil litigation judges telling them there's this bankruptcy. So there are three cases that are pending right now against the coach building company and Radford. One of them, the first one was filed actually by a doctor in Florida who was promised a build and he's paid $1 million.
Wow.
Yeah. To get
he
this
just gave him
built.
$1 million straight up.
Yeah, gave him $1 million.
Wow.
After 2.5 years of being promised he would be delivered the document, the vehicle, and being told, oh, yeah, no problem, still working on it, it never got built. And they also spent 2.5 years telling him that they would not return his deposit. Now, this is all the allegations in the complaint, which doesn't have to be true. Now, that case settled right away, a few months after it got filed. Dr. Katzman was the guy in Florida. And we do not know how much money he settled for, but he did ask for his $1 million back.
I can't believe they gave him $1 million. Was it I didn't realize these things were $1 million. Yikes.
Yeah. He,
you can buy a Lotus Evora for a lot less than that.
Exactly. But, this was supposed to be a custom Lotus supercar. And I don't exactly know, but it was more of a build than the ones that they were building for other people.
He might have gotten one of the two cars that they say they completed.
Could be. Well, he never got the car. Yes, that's speculation.
Oh, he never got the car. Ooh,
yes.
Wow.
And this one was actually, when the notes that were in the complaint said it was the Lotus Exige. It was based on the Exige, and it was carbon fiber, 700 horsepower, 3.5 liter V6. The okay. V6 was supplied by Toyota. Interestingly,
yeah, that well, so, that all of those low tie were Toyota engines. The V6s
okay.
are Toyotas, yeah.
So that was the build he paid for, and let's hope he got his refund. But that case settled, and that was filed here in Orange County. And then there was a second case filed in Orange County by a guy named Timothy Tasker,
right?
And he sued Radford and Finest Coach Building, and he had a 100,000 deposit. Well, 101,000 actually was what he paid for his deposit. He kept asking for refunds starting in 2022, and their CFO never gave him the money back. So this case was filed. It is still going. This is the one where they filed the notice of bankruptcy.
Oh, so is he with a bankruptcy filing? Does this guy also have to stop pursuing the? Because yeah. I didn't see him mm-hmm. listed in the bankruptcy filing.
Yeah, interesting, huh? Because they have to list all of their creditors.
Right. So this yes. guy seems to be, just from my looking at it, away from the bankruptcy. So
it
well.
Could be. Maybe they settled with him on the side. Who knows?
No, we can't speculate.
We can't speculate. We don't know what happened. But this case is still pending. And there's a case management conference scheduled in January. And they're probably going to be talking about whether to set aside the Chapter 11. Because you can do that. His attorneys could file a motion to say, hey, that's not a legitimate filing. Or we've had it happen where the bankruptcy actually gets resolved and then the stay should be lifted. But they don't say anything to the court because, oh, we forgot to tell you, right? Because they want to keep everything on ice. So then there's a third case called Pastor Velasco versus Finest Coach Building. That's also in Orange County. Because the defendants in this case are all here in Orange County. That one was filed in March. A lot of activity on that case. There's cross complaints. Pastor Velasco is suing for some sort of contractual issue. He
is the owner of the racing school.
Yes. So we think that he might be owed money by the corporate entity for his expenses incurred with running the racing school.
Yeah, we don't know. And actually, we don't know the nature of that relationship.
Yeah, we don't know.
Because as near as I could tell from reading all these legal documents, they licensed the name Radford to the racing school formerly known as Bondurant, because I believe in the Bondurant mix, the name Bondurant was not part of the deal. So,
right. But they couldn't use that anymore. Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. So that's a lot going on down there, Radford Motors. And that probably, does anybody remember the founding of this? And I mean, they did a lot of press. I wrote a couple stories about them. I talked to Ant and to Jensen, and boy, they seemed like, hey, everything's going to be great. We're going to make these cars and it'll be fun and yippee. And turns out making cars is hard to do. So, especially high dollar sports cars.
Yeah. So, that's what's going on with the, unfortunately, with Radford Motors.
But Ant Anstead says, hey, we're going to power through this. We're just reorganizing, yeah. And that's all. Everything's going to be fine. We're going to keep going. So
exactly.
We wish them well, because it's always cool to have more cars, right?
Right. So we've got two more minutes. We can tell you about either Elon Musk.
Tell them about Elon Musk. Let's do Elon Musk.
All right. Well, Uncle Elon has decided that it's not worth trying to put out $25,000 cars after all. So he's announced that he's going to just do robo-taxis.
Yeah, and I don't know, man. Do you think robo-taxis are ready? Are autonomous cars ready? Are we ready to go into an autonomous future?
I hate to say this, but the more people go in them, especially influencers, and post what their experiences were on social media, I think we're going to have more acceptance. And, you know, they're going in San Francisco, right? They've got those, I think they're Jaguars, right? The Waymos?
Yes, the I-Paces.
Yeah.
That's the Waymo. Now, when I was in San Francisco for the VW ID Buzz launch, I was just driving around down by the docks, and I saw a huge fenced-in parking lot with all the crews. Robo-taxi things just parked there because GM said, we're not going to do this at the moment. We'll see what happens. Now, I have ridden in a Waymo taxi twice, and I live to tell the tale. Nothing bad happened. So, but the thing is there's a little bit of hubris, arrogance going on where they say, we have looked at a million different scenarios and our car can handle all million. Well, okay. And the million and one comes along, you know, the anvil from Wile E. Coyote falls out of the sky or something that you don't have in your algorithm.
Yeah.
So I don't know what I think of this. I think overall it's probably a good thing, a good way to go in the future.
Yeah.
But I think there are going to be some problems, and those problems could have consequences. But nonetheless, I think that there are testing out a number of semi trucks driving across the country. Now that would work. I would think you're driving a semi across Texas. You don't have to have a person in the car because it's just straight and flat and everything's fine. But
well, if anything, just like we saw with cell phones and computers, the tech has to get better, not worse. And does it do a better job than humans? Because I'll tell you, in my job, I see tons of Lyft drivers and Uber drivers that make mistakes and end up in accidents. And then I end up defending them. So can they do a better job than those guys?
Well, they will tell you, Waymo will tell you that their cars do a better job, statistically speaking, than human drivers. And I believe that Cruise said the same thing, that statistically speaking, they do a better job. They had that one unfortunate incident in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they did.
Where it wasn't a cut and dried thing.
No, but there was also another incident in Arizona with a Volvo robo-taxi that some lady was crossing the street walking her bike or riding her bike across a deserted stretch of dark highway in the middle of the night. And the LIDAR or whatever didn't catch her.
That was unfortunately a fatal accident.
So anywho, that's what's going on with robo-taxis is Elon wants to jump into that game. I think he should. Yeah, I think that'd be a good move.
Yeah, he clarifies that the cyber cab is going to take the position of the $25,000 car.
It'll
just be optimized for autonomy. And he says, a quote from him is basically having a regular $25,000 model is pointless. Now he says pointless because having a steering wheel and pedals and a person doing the driving, he thinks is pointless. And autonomous cars of the future. Those of us who like driving cars, maybe you too, Michelle, with your Mazda RX-8 and Miata, think that driving cars is fun. But the future is maybe not going to be fun. It's going to be autonomous. We're going to sit there on our phones like zombies.
Well, Mark, I really hope we're not around for that.
I don't plan to be around for it.
No. Or that we can hang on to our slow, stinky, manual transmission, you know, gross polluters for as long as possible.
Well, you know, when cars replaced horses, horses didn't go away. They just became, you know, very expensive playthings for a few people who had horse ranches.
Yes.
So anyway, okay. Shall we move on?
Yeah. How about some reviews?
All right. Which one should we do first?
How about your Scout? Yeah.
The Scout. Okay. Do you remember International Harvester and the Scouts?
Of course.
Remember those? Did you ever have one? Or did you know anybody who had one?
Our family was a German car family. We had no American cars.
Oh.
Ever.
What the heck? Why not?
Because we had Porsches, Volkswagens, and BMWs.
Okay. All right. That was a nice family to grow up in. We had American cars. We just had American cars, and that was all we had.
That's why it's good to have two different perspectives on the show, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah, we had three, but we lost one. Oh. So anyway, I was where the heck did they do this? I had to fly
Nashville.
Yeah. Yes. Right. These locations are all blending into one. I was in Nashville for the launch of the Scout pickup and SUV. I could talk about Nashville just forever. That was a fun town, man. Have you ever been down Broadway in Nashville?
Well, I just went for my birthday last year.
Did you have a good time?
Heck yeah.
Did you go into all those bars and clubs where the bands are playing? And
isn't that the best?
It's the best.
Isn't that just the best? I mean, you don't have to pay a cover. You just go in and there's live music and they're good. These people are awesome musicians.
I had no idea that this particular setup existed. And our friend John Faulkner says, hey, why don't you come down? We'll go look at Broadway. And we did. And I was like, wow. So anyway,
but I digress.
I digress. So Scout is something that when it's a long backstory, Volkswagen was buying up everything in the world. Volkswagen bought Navistar, which used to be International Harvester, which used to make the Scout. Now, these guys will tell you, the Scout enthusiasts, that Scout was the first SUV. They're kind of like bypassing or ignoring the Jeep. But, you know, they kind of throw that out. This is not the official point of that's just coming from one of the Scout owners and enthusiasts who was there claiming that Scout was the first SUV. So let's not see. It's another rabbit hole. And I pulled my foot out of it. We're moving on. So Scout is fully funded by Volkswagen, but it is a separate entity. Just the same way that Porsche is separate, Bugatti is separate, Audi, Ducati are all separate. And they say that this allows them to develop their own character. And while they may share some parts that are common and saves everybody money, it's allowed to develop its own character and become its own thing. So they introduced two Scouts, an SUV called the Traveler and a pickup truck called the Terra. Now, if you're a student of this brand, you will remember that those were the names of SUVs and pickups from the original Scouts being produced between 1961 and 1980. They had, of course, the Scout 80, the Scout 800, and the Scout 2 as well. So they had quite a line of vehicles, and they were cool looking things. They had rounded corners all the way around, and they were quite capable off-road. One of our friend Shad Balch, do you know Shad?
Oh, I love Shad. Yeah,
General Motors.
Great.
His dad, Sherman Balch, raced Scouts in the Baja 250, 500, and 1000, and he kept winning his class just racing Scouts. That was kind of cool. I sent him a note because I found something about that when I was writing this. He said, yeah, that's my dad. So they were quite capable vehicles back then. So Volkswagen at some point realized when they bought Navistar, hey, we have this, we could do this. And they are making these two vehicles. Now, the thing about them is they are both electric. They are not driven. The wheels are not driven by internal combustion. However, they realize that some people are hesitant to buy an all-electric car. So they are going to offer versions of these two vehicles with an internal combustion range extender. Now, they have not announced what that will be or even where it will be mounted in the car. But I have heard when I was there, I talked to a lot of people. And the scuttlebutt is that it'll be a Volkswagen four-cylinder mounted in the back near the back axle. But that's not official, so that might not happen. Now, if you do not get the range extender, you have a range of 350 miles all electric on either one of these, the SUV and the pickup truck. If you do get the range extender, your mileage goes up to 500 miles. So they're nice looking vehicles. I sound like an advertisement for Auto Week, but you can go to autoweek.com and see a whole bunch of pictures of these things. They're really nice looking, and they care. People often who have seen the pictures, they say, oh, it's just a Rivian. You know, it's all a Rivian underneath. The Rivian connection is only for a development of software. The vehicle itself is its own body on frame chassis and its own body panels and interior and everything. The Rivian connection, according to Scott Keogh, who is running this Scout company, he said that that is all. There are no other parts from Rivian involved in this. So, and if you look at it, if you see it in person, the first thing that I thought was that it had the styling cues from the Scout, you know, the original Scouts. But you can look at it and see what you think about that. It's a fun looking car, and I don't know. What do you think, Michelle? Would you buy one of these?
Well, I'd want to test drive it.
Okay, if you test drove it, and it was okay.
I like the looks. I think that both the pickup truck and the SUV are good looking. I think they did a nice job on the design. Were you able to drive either one?
No, in fact, both of these were just concepts.
Oh, I see. Well, were you able to jump in them and see how the seats are comfortable or visibility?
An interesting thing about the seats is they're going to offer the option of a bench seat in the front. And when they said that, everybody cheered. Now, the audience was maybe half, you know, old-time Scout owners and old-time employees of the original International Harvester that made the Scout. So those people cheered. Whether buyers out there in the real world will cheer is, well, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
We could go into a rabbit hole on what happened to the bench front seat. I mean,
I liked the bench seat.
I thought they were cool. You know, okay, so you can make people more comfortable probably if it's an individual seat versus a bench. But come on, we have to be able to make a better bench seat, right?
Yeah.
Where it could be comfortable. You could retrofit a headrest for safety, because that's now required. I mean, back when bench seats were original, they didn't have to have that, but you could easily put that in there.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see what their bench seat would look like in the Traveler or the Terra.
I would too. I saw it, in fact, and it looked quite comfortable. And one nice thing about a bench seat, you know, the driver can have a significant other, special someone next to him, sitting right next to you, and, you know, put your arm around, you're cruising, steering with one hand. I think it could be a wonderful experience for anybody. So we are in agreement then, both Michelle and I here at the car show agree that having a bench seat is a good thing, certainly as an option.
Yeah, I'm not surprised people were cheering. That's great. I like it.
They did cheer.
Viva la bench seat.
The problem is this car, with or without the bench seat, is not coming until 2027. Now, check the calendar. Right now, we're at 2024, so it's a long way off. A lot of things could happen. A lot of things could change. They did list some prices for these. Let me see. Where is that? Pricing will start at under $60,000, they said. So
that's great. I mean, who knows if by 3 years from now that'll still work. But where would they sell these? Is it going to be through Volkswagen dealers?
No, and that's another point of contention. And they're not even sure how they're going to sort this out. They say that it's going to be, you know, they're direct to customers. So not the traditional dealer network. Now, you can imagine some of the Volkswagen dealers might be a little bit upset about that. But I think a lot of people who buy high-end electric vehicles are probably, you know, they're not your typical customer who is looking at sitting at a dealership. Now, one stat that they threw at us was that the typical car buying experience takes 13 hours. So I had never heard that. I think that's a little bit long.
That's long.
What they threw at us. But they said that people don't like doing that and people would much rather do it online. You can even purchase this car or you can put down a deposit right now through an app on your phone. So we'll see what happens. We tried to pin them down on how many states allow that. They didn't have a figure. They could have thrown out a number and they didn't have a figure for that.
Yeah. There's probably a reason why they didn't launch in Michigan. Okay.
For instance, well, now a cynic would say that local politicians are controlled by the car dealers who donate big money to the local politicians. And that's what a cynic would say. Other people would say that the traditional dealer buying experience has many advantages, yada, yada, yada. So we'll see what happens. We've got, what, 2 or 3 years before this actually takes place.
Well, that's an interesting concept launch to report on. That's really interesting. And then, of course, you got to have your experience on Lower Broadway, which is priceless.
Experience on what?
Lower Broadway. That's what they call it.
Oh, yeah, Lower Broadway. I thought you said driveway. Broadway, right.
Yeah. Yes.
So that was fun. It was really fun. Anyway, I recommend Nashville. Anybody who's looking for some place to go and hang out and listen to great music and have a fun time, go to Nashville and, go check out the new
Ryman. You got to go to the Ryman Auditorium.
Yeah. We walked past that.
Well, I went on the tour and I'm really into country music and I just got chills. The place has been there for so long. And then, of course, the Grand Ole Opry's been broadcasting for 100 years as of this year out of Nashville on WSN radio. So there's so much history. And so you can really take in a lot of history in Nashville if you like music. And, of course, if you like bluegrass, there's tons of bluegrass and all kinds of performances to take in addition to all the places on Broadway where you can go and have a great dinner and have a beer and then listen to some awesome music by up-and-comer musicians. And the other great thing about Nashville is sometimes you'll have people like Keith Urban just drop in and do a set.
Right.
Or Luke Bryan or Luke Combs. They have all these events in Nashville that we just don't get in LA.
Or Taylor Swift.
Yeah. You never know.
Who knows? But anyway, that sounds like a lot of fun. 1 minute to go here. Michelle, tell people where they can find out information about our show.
Our show has a Facebook page, and that's where we would like you to go. We do post. If you'd like to ask us a question, we do have a message button, but you have to go to The Car Show on KPFK 90.7 FM on Facebook. And be careful of imposters. So there's a lot of The Car Shows on Facebook, but there's only one that's on KPFK.
I didn't know that. There's imposters?
Oh, yes. Lots of The Car Shows. If you pull up if you do a search for The Car Show, you'll get a lot. You'll get a long list.
All right. Well, stick around. We got Bill Gardner coming up after this for Rhapsody in Black. Great music that you didn't know you loved. And come back next week for The Car Show.
This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. I'd like to thank all of our listeners for your donations and overwhelming support of this listener-sponsored community radio, KPFK. It is the support of listeners like you that keeps this station strong, fiercely independent, and powered by the people. Thank you from all of us at Pacifica Radio's KPFK 90.7 FM.
To engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors.
Did you know that KPFK is part of the Pacifica Network? 5 stations around the country powered by our listeners. So on election night, Tuesday, November 5th, the Pacifica Network will bring you live, real-time coverage of the 2024 election results. There'll be updates, analysis, and discussion of this most important election. You're invited to join Pacifica Stations as we simultaneously broadcast results on races and ballot initiatives. From 5 p.m. until 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, each station will host a portion of the live coverage.